week, we take a look at all the many changes this season brought to Maryland athletics. We'll also talk to experts on how stressed-out students can better prepare themselves for the next big exam. But first, we'll hear straight from one of the latest victims of the College Park Cuddler. All that and more is coming right up. TERP Weekly Edition is a weekly, student-reported, and produced radio news magazine. TERP Weekly Edition is presented in cooperation with the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland and the campus radio station 88.1 WMUC FM. Hello, I'm Leah Villanueva, and I will be your host for this week's episode. Imagine this. You are asleep in your off-campus apartment in College Park. Suddenly, something wakes you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You blink open your eyes to find a dark figure standing over your bed. For three students, this nightmare scenario became a frightening reality. David Doppelt gets the first-hand account from one of these victims.
Remember the College Park Cuddler? Well, this past month, he struck again, three times in one night. I visited one of the homes the alleged cuddler snuck into and spoke to a boyfriend who woke up to find a man exiting his bedroom.
I believe it was around 5 a.m. when I was awoken by my girlfriend kind of waking up in the middle of the night, and I start turning over and all of a sudden I see an image above my bed leaving my bedroom.
According to Oster, there was a party the night of the incident, and the door was possibly left unlocked.
At first, the person just walking out, I assumed that it was a roommate or a friend just coming to see if we were awake, but after talking to my girlfriend and realizing what this person was doing, they came into the bed, they were touching her back, and we realized that someone had broken into our house, came upstairs, walked into my room, and got in bed with me and my girlfriend.
I asked Oster what the immediate effects were for him and his girlfriend and for the rest of his roommates.
We finally realized that it wasn't any of my roommates and it wasn't a friend of ours. And they came over and I explained exactly what happened.
In order to prevent this from happening again, police warned students to lock all doors and windows.
Well, we've definitely taken better precautions recently to have our doors locked and be safe. You know, every night we're always telling everyone who's still awake, make sure you lock the door, double check, triple check. And I actually think that around campus, the word has spread a little bit more that people are not only locking their front doors and back doors and basement doors, but also their personal bedroom doors.
In College Park, Maryland, I'm David Doppelt for TERP's Weekly Radio.
Students who witness or fall victim to any crime should alert university police on their emergency number, 301-405-3333, or simply call 911. With football season in full swing, all eyes are on the Maryland Terrapins as they tackle their opponents on the field. But as the players fight to keep their heads in the game, trainers are doing all they can to keep those heads well protected. Kirby Mills gets a scoop on the real dangers behind this popular sport.
On the left hand, first and goal from the four. Here's the pitch to Scott. Scott, looking to throw back.
Football is a game of hitting, blocking, and tackling. Players wear shoulder pads, leg pads, and most importantly, a helmet. But what that helmet doesn't do is prevent players from concussions, the leading injury in college football in the last decade. Head football trainer at the University of Maryland, Wes Robinson, says helmet design is very important.
There has been a big push to increase the type of helmet and the design over the last few years. So either from a overall increase in the shell, the size of the helmet, improving the padding inside. Some of the recent studies that are coming out now are looking at actually where the face mask is bolted to the helmet, because those are static points that don't give. The whole idea of the helmet is that, you know, it's plastic and it's going to slide against the other helmet instead of having, you know, two soft surfaces that stick together.
Despite the astounding number of concussions each year, Robinson said he hasn't seen a big increase in the numbers from one year to the next.
I haven't seen an increase in the numbers. There's certainly been an increase in the discussion around them, but I don't think that if you look at the true rate of incidents or the numbers, I don't think they've gone up. It's just more people talking about it, which is a good thing because the awareness needs to be there. It certainly was an underlying problem that was always there that people didn't give much credence to.
Offensive lineman Bennett Falper is tasked with blocking defenders head-on week in and week out.
Of course, it's a hard thing to grasp when it comes up. They always say, play the game like it used to be played. So, you know, well, it didn't used to be played this fast by this big of guys. So we just have to kind of adapt with how we hit and avoid collisions.
He said he's never had a concussion, nor does it cross his mind during games. But if it does come up in conversation, he says it's a scary thought. With that, Fulper says until he gets a concussion, it won't keep him from playing hard on Saturdays.
It's a little naive, definitely. But until you have one, you don't understand the true severity of it. And, you know, you just keep plugging along until you witness it firsthand.
For the Terps and everyone else who puts on the pads, concussions are nothing to turn your head on. In 2010, the American Association of Neurological Surgeons claimed there are nearly 300,000 football-related head injuries or concussions each year. In College Park, I'm Kirby Mills for Terps Weekly Edition.
And helmets aren't the only thing on players' minds this season. With new officials, new uniforms, and a new attitude toward fan behavior, it's a whole new ballgame for Maryland Athletics. Brandon Buzik tells us more about all the big changes.
The University of Maryland's athletic department has been going through some changes. Longtime men's basketball coach Gary Williams has retired, football coach Ralph Fridgen's contract was bought out, and new athletic director Kevin Anderson has just reached his one-year mark. With all these changes, the department is looking for a fresh start. Senior Associate Athletic Director Nathan Pine, who was just hired this past spring, sees this as a chance for positive change with Maryland Athletics. The first change would be new coaches that could make a difference. The athletic department would get Randy Edsel to lead the football team and Mark Turgeon to take command of the basketball team.
It's not only quality coaches that are going to know the X's and O's of the sport, but also quality leaders that are going to teach our young men and young women exactly how to be successful in life.
To go along with the changes in coaching came new football uniforms, uniforms that show pride in the University of Maryland.
But we really worked closely with the partners at Under Armour on how to drive home Maryland pride and that this is the flagship institution of the state of Maryland.
I thought the uniforms were awesome. I'm a Maryland resident, so I'm obviously have a lot of Maryland pride, so I think they really represented Maryland and the Maryland flag well.
Pine, along with the rest of the athletic department, are looking for a change in student conduct at Maryland sporting events. After Maryland's week one game against Miami, Anderson received an email from a man who took his 11-year-old son to the game. The man said that their experience would have been much better if it were not for all the rude chants and obscene gestures towards his son.
This really spoke to our message about being mindful of how we act as a crowd and the things that we say, not only for national television, but for the folks that are in those arenas with us on a daily basis.
Some Maryland students agree with the athletic department, saying that Maryland students need to conduct themselves in a better manner.
I think it's completely reasonable. I mean, we're representing the university, and this is supposed to be a world-class institution.
With all the changes going on here at the University of Maryland, students, alumni, fans, and faculty have a lot to look forward to with Maryland sports. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Brandon Busick.
Be sure to check out the Maryland Athletics website at umterps.com for all the latest news and schedules. We've all been there. It's the day of the big test, and you've crammed a semester's worth of material into a last-minute study session the night before. You're nervous. Your pulse is racing, and your palms are sweaty. You're hoping and praying that you studied enough and that you'll get a good grade. And then, the TA sets the exam down on your desk. This is it. You take a look at the questions, and your mind draws a complete blank. Benny Magnow talks to experts about what steps you can take to keep this from happening to you.
It's that time of the month for most college students, and no, it doesn't just affect girls. I'm talking about PMS. Pre-midterm stress. The clock is winding down to prepare for exams, and the pressure has some students, like business major Lin Nguyen, getting anxious.
Sometimes I get a little nervous, and then I can't focus on the test.
It's not uncommon for students to feel jittery before or during the test. After all, a recent study by UCLA's Higher Education Research Institute shows that stress levels of first-year college students are at the highest in 25 years. But why do students experience this? The Learning Assistance Center's Dr. Kimberly Bethay says students just aren't prepared enough for their exam.
Students in general just do not know how to study for a comprehensive final exam.
One solution is to get tutored by one of the many campus honor societies or academic programs. But math success coach Jude Asangani says that tutoring isn't as simple as telling you the answer.
We don't want to teach them everything. We want to coach them. It's about giving them some kind of technique of solving the problem rather than telling them the answer to the problem.
But what if you studied, know the information, and simply blank once the test is in front of you? Edie Anderson, a certified meditation instructor at the University Health Center, says that stress hormones can block your memory.
Your normal circulation is inhibited, so knowledge that you've acquired actually can't easily be accessible. So the best technique is what you might call diaphragmatic breathing or yoga breathing, and adding a small mantra, a vibrational sound from the universe.
Whether through tutoring or meditating on the sounds of the universe, the best technique is to not wait until after the fact to get help. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Benny Magno.
And we wish all our students best of luck as they tackle all their exams this semester. Our show. Thanks so much for tuning in to Terp Weekly Edition. Be sure to check us out online at twe.umd.edu. I'm Leah Villanueva, and be sure to tune in again next Sunday on WMUC 88.1 FM.